Good afternoon. It's certainly good to see everyone who is willing and able to come back out and study another portion of God's Word. Dennis referred to that first song he led as a blast from the past. I can't remember the last time that I was called upon to speak both in the morning and the afternoon. I first saw that on the schedule. I'm like, how am I going to handle that? And I got to thinking, we used to do it all the time because it was just Dennis and I spoke and we took turns every other Lord's Day, and it made me think about how thankful we are that we've gotten so many people here who can help participate, and I'm sure as the audience you're glad to have more options to listen to as well. So this afternoon I'm going to finish my chapter study of the Gospel of Luke. This is a study that I started because I wasn't using Luke as often as I used other reference in the lessons that I was preparing, so I wanted to kind of go through and study this a little bit deeper. After I began this study, would have been 24 lessons ago. Since that time, Joy and I have tried to start studying a chapter every day, and we're about halfway through John. We started with Matthew, and I'm learning that the more I go through this, the more little things that I pick up, and hopefully we can share some things from this particular chapter that will help us in our lives as Christians and help us more understand what God would have us to do. So to begin this afternoon, I'd like to read the first 12 verses of Luke chapter 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which had come to pass. When we go back and read the Gospels and see all the things that Jesus did and all the miracles that he performed, you might want to ask yourself the question, why weren't the apostles waiting outside the tomb on Sunday morning? Because Jesus said on the third day he was going to rise again, and they saw all the miracles that he performed, and they proclaimed that they believed that he was the Messiah. But there was still that little bit of anxiety and doubt and fear of what could happen to them because of what they believed, that they weren't there. We realize that Jesus was crucified on a Friday afternoon. The Sabbath, it was the custom of the Jews at that time that a body that had died had to be buried before the Sabbath began. The Jewish days did not go from midnight to midnight like we count time now, but the Jewish day started on at 6 o'clock in the evening. So 6 o'clock on Friday evening would have begun Saturday, which is the Sabbath. So they only had less than 3 hours to get Jesus off the cross. Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and requested the body of Jesus so that he could bury him. Joseph had to go to Pilate, come back, get the body of Jesus down off the cross, and get him into this tomb that that belonged to Joseph before 6 o'clock. So they were running on a very tight schedule to get that accomplished. And because of that, the body of Jesus had not been prepared, as was the custom of the Jews at that time, before burial. So they got his body in the tomb, and then these women were coming back after the Sabbath was over on the first day of the week to finish preparing the body of Jesus as they had wanted to do. And of course, when they get there, they find that the tomb is empty. Luke tells us that these women went back and told the apostles that the body of Jesus was gone, and they were skeptical about what these women were telling them was true. Now, as we mentioned earlier, maybe it was because they were afraid that the Romans would take them, that the Jews would convince the Romans to take them and crucify them as well, because they were followers of Jesus, or any number of things could have happened. But their faith was strong, but it wasn't quite strong enough to overcome this hurdle that it put before them. That even though Jesus had told them that he was going to rise from the dead, and they saw him bring Lazarus back from the dead, they still didn't quite grasp what was going on here. In his series of books about Sherlock Holmes, Arthur Conan Doyle wrote this quote that's often used, "Once you eliminate the impossible, whatever remains, no matter how improbable, must be the truth." And so they didn't really reason this out in their heads the way they should have, and they were still waiting for something. They were all gathered together, and the apostles were waiting for something. But as Jesus had told them that he would rise again, it was apparent from their actions that they hadn't quite been able to grasp everything that he had told them. I'd like now to read beginning in verse 13. "And behold, two of them that went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass therein these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And when they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known to them, in the breaking of bread. So these two disciples decided on this day, on the first day of the week, that they were going to travel to this other village. It was about a mile and a half, almost 2 miles away. And as they were walking, Jesus joined himself to them. Now, we see in some other scriptures where Jesus appears to people after his resurrection, and they don't immediately recognize him, so either his face didn't look the same, or they were blocked somehow from recognizing Jesus by his physical appearance. He did, however, still have the scars in his hands and feet, as we're going to see later in this chapter and other places. But when Jesus joined himself to these men in this conversation, they didn't recognize him immediately as being Jesus. And they asked, when he asked them why they're sad, he tells them, because this man we've been following has been crucified. And we see that Jesus sets the example that Philip will follow later on when Philip joins himself to the Ethiopian eunuch. He does the same thing that Jesus did here. He goes back to the Old Testament And instead of trying to say, convince him that he's Jesus, he just tells them what the prophecies say about Jesus. Now, there's been a lot of movies and TV show episodes where some, you know, through some kind of situation or circumstance, somebody ends up in another body. And usually what happens in these things, most of the time they're comedies, and it's kind of played for laughs, but the person that's in a different body will try to convince somebody they know that they're this person. Jesus didn't do that. All he did was he went back to the scriptures and started telling them all the he went back through all the prophecies of the Old Testament, and realizing that if they thought about what he was saying, that they could check off that each one of those things was fulfilled in the life that Jesus lived. And still we see that as they went into this house to eat, they still hadn't made that connection. And finally, when Jesus blessed the bread and broke it, they finally realized that this was Jesus. And once they did, he disappeared, and they immediately ran back to tell the other apostles and disciples about what they had witnessed there. Excuse me. We'll now continue reading with verse 36. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And he gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Those of us who are parents can certainly relate to the frustration that Jesus must have felt at this point. When we have children and we begin to raise our children, we repeatedly try to teach them things about right and wrong, and then you see that they don't get it, or they think they know more than you do. At least that was the case with my child. It's like you want to just grab them sometimes and say, "What are you thinking?" And that seemed to be the situation that Jesus was in here, because after all the things that he had taught them, and God gave them free will to believe what they wanted to believe and think what they wanted to think, but all the things that Jesus did while he was with them still hadn't convinced them 100% or helped them fully understand what Jesus wanted them to do. And so today, when we try to help people understand what the Bible teaches, we kind of encounter the same kind of thing. It's like we can't perform miracles like the apostles did or like Jesus did to show that what we're teaching is right and what God wants us to teach. We have to live by faith, and we have to try to encourage other people to have that faith as well. So it's a daunting task, but it's one that God wants us to do, and it's an obligation that we should feel happy to have, that we can not only continue to work on our own salvation, but try to influence others as well. But it's difficult when you just can't make somebody see the light, so to speak, and to really understand what it is that the scriptures teach. But Jesus reminds the apostles here that his work on earth is finished, and it's going to be up to them to continue to spread the gospel. That's going to become their responsibility, and that's a task that falls to us today to continue to perpetuate the kingdom of Jesus until he comes again on the day of judgment. I'd like now to read the last couple of verses of this chapter, beginning at verse 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. So Luke finishes out his gospel, his account given through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, as he concludes his gospel here with Jesus ascending up into heaven. I would like to read from a couple of verses from Acts chapter 1, which was also recorded by Luke through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It kind of puts an exclamation point on his gospel. Luke, Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The former trustees have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in the like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. In Luke 25, verse 45, as we read a few moments ago, it says that Jesus opened the understanding of the disciples as he appeared to them there to understand the scriptures and what the scriptures had to say about Jesus and about the coming of the Messiah. We can necessarily infer from this that what is meant here is that they were given a full understanding of the scriptures that and the prophecies that told of Jesus' coming. As Luke records in Acts chapter 1, we see that some of the apostles were still unsure about what exactly their purpose was going to be moving forward, because as Jesus is about to go up into heaven, they ask him again if he's going to restore the physical kingdom of Israel, and that's not why he came and that's not what his purpose was. And then when they receive the Holy Ghost 10 days later on the day of Pentecost, they finally understood what their purpose was that God had planned for them. And everything was revealed to them as far as we understand it for what the scriptures say, except for the idea of the Gentiles being accepted into Christianity. And of course, we know that that was revealed to Peter some 3.5 years after that time, because they were only converting Jews to Christianity until Peter went down to the house of Cornelius. And so the full plan of God was revealed to them slowly and in portions. And of course, we realize the last thing that was revealed was the acceptance of the Gentiles. And there's nothing in the scriptures that tell us, as I tried to bring out this morning, that anything is going to change or be different from what was established at that time as far as the things that God wants us to do and the things that are necessary for us to do if we want to go to heaven. So that brings us to the conclusion of this chapter and this book. I haven't really thought about one I want to talk about next in the afternoon services. If somebody has a book that they would like to have know more about or a topic, I'm certainly open to any suggestions. Sit down. I can't take that suggestion because people ask me to do it. So I'm going to stand up here and say something. So if it's something something somebody wants to hear, I appreciate you letting me know. Certainly appreciate everyone's attendance this afternoon. We don't want to miss an opportunity to offer the services of the church to any who would. Won't you come while we stand and sing the invitation song?